Is the Bible the Word of God? Well, a new poll from Gallup shows that more Americans don't believe that is the case than did in previous times. We're going to talk about this right now with Alex McFarland, who is a Christian apologist. He really focuses very well with millennials in teaching basic Christian apologetics and beyond. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Alex, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Jerry. It's always an honor to be on with you.
All right. Now, I really respect Gallup polls. In fact, I was in their office many years ago when George Gallup Jr. was alive, and I interviewed him for D. James Kennedy Ministries. And I've always thought that their polling and surveying about, you know, what do Americans really think about religion and so forth have been among the most accurate. And so it was sad to see that they reported recently that record few Americans believe the Bible is the literal Word of God, again, according to Gallup, and that's from May 15th, 2017. Let's start with an overview statement about that. We see a trend in America, unfortunately, where people are believing less in the Bible than did previous generations.
That's true. That's true. The survey is out, you know, May of 2017. Basically, one in four believe that the Bible is the literal Word of God. And the number of those that are viewing the Bible as a collection of secular stories and moderately accurate history is up 5 points in the last 3 years. So there is a large segment, nearly 50%, 47%, still think the Bible is the inspired Word of God, but growing numbers believe it is not. And this is the lowest proportion of faith in the Bible in the four decades that Gallup has been tracking this.
Hmm. Now, one of the things is a phrase that they use, which I think is frankly unfortunate, and I'm going to quote them directly, that now 24% believe the Bible is, quote, the actual Word of God and is to be taken literally word for word, end of quote. Now, I don't like the way that's worded because the Bible itself, you know, shows that it is not to be taken literally word for word. For example, when the Psalms say that the trees of the field clap their hands in praise of God. Well, the trees of the field don't literally clap their hands in praise to God. This is poetic, you know, a poetic way of describing it. So the Bible is contained, it has different forms of genres of literature, and therefore to use the phrase literally for it is an injustice to the Bible itself, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree that the question for the survey in some ways was a little bit of a gotcha question. Now, whether that's intentional or not, I don't know. I would suspect it wasn't. I would think it's maybe, like you say, just an unfortunate wording of the question, because a lot of people would instantly know. I mean, there's a lot in the Bible that we wouldn't want to do. I mean, I think about in the book of Genesis when the serpent tempted Adam and Eve, and, you know, has God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You know, obviously there are things that the Bible records that the Bible doesn't recommend. There are things that the Bible records that the Bible doesn't condone. So certainly a fair percentage of the people surveyed would have understood that not everything in the Bible is normative for Christian living.
Mm-hmm. All right. And also, you know, along these lines, now when we talk about the taking the Bible literally, if the passage in question is obviously intended, just you can tell by its description that this is intended to be a reflection of what actually happened, of history. For example, Jesus walked on water. Jesus turned a few loaves of fishes, a few loaves of bread and a few fishes into literally enough food to feed thousands of people. Yes, that's to be taken literally. In other words, these are historical events. They actually happen. And if the people being surveyed are saying, no, we don't believe that anymore, that's troubling that we see. In other words, we see a rise of skepticism in America today. What is causing that, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I think the rise of skepticism and tragically the agnosticism of millennials and younger, which is so rampant is due to a number of things within and without the church. I mean, we've had a good 5-6 decades of public education that has been unrelenting in its secular perspective. We've had pop media and talking heads and cultural figures that have just been on this bandwagon of secularism and separation of church and state for years and years and years. So we've had really kind of a naturalistic anti-God mentality drilled into us in the culture, in the media, and certainly in public education for a number of years. But I would say on the church side, there has been just a real silence when it comes to apologetics and biblical worldview. Jerry, I love the church. I believe in the church. I'm in a local church somewhere to speak 2 and 3 times a week and have been for 20 years. However, I'm continually shocked at how uninformed masses of American Christians are about apologetics. Mm-hmm. And we've lived now, I'm going to say, 5 decades into really a golden age of apologetics. I mean, there have been incredible spokespersons like Josh McDowell and Norm Geisler and Ravi Zacharias and William Lane Craig and the late D. James Kennedy and Chuck Colson. We've had incredible voices, meticulous scholars. But here's something else that most congregants are not aware of. Almost on a monthly, weekly, at least quarterly basis, incredible scholarship is revealing the great evidence that underscores the truth of the Bible. Even just last week, the Smithsonian published an article about the discovery of the Tower of Babel, something that, you know, 100 years ago skeptics would have said was just mythological. And so whether you're talking about the historicity of the gospel,
excuse me, would that be in Iraq? I mean, I didn't even hear about this. I assume it would be somewhere in Iraq, though.
Yes. And they believe that the biblical account of the Tower of Babel has been archaeologically proven.
Wow.
Now.
Fascinating.
And, 30 years ago they might have said there were ziggurats that are these tiered pyramid-type things that are somewhat similar. But now they believe they have actually excavated what fairly conclusively would have been recognized as the biblical Tower of Babel.
So in other words, Alex, what you're saying is on the one hand, for those who are actually following some of the facts coming out in archaeology and other disciplines, they're tending to confirm the accuracy of the Bible.
Sure.
But on the other hand, the popular culture is continuing to perpetuate the myth, oh, the Bible is just, you know, got a lot of myths in it.
Well, exactly. And, you know, for years, skeptics would say there's no extra biblical reference to King David. Well, now there are extra biblical references to Abraham, the things like the House of Caiaphas, the Pool of Siloam, and that's just archaeology. We could talk about in the sciences how the intricacies of the DNA point to there had to be a mind behind the creation of the universe. We've never seen information arise from a non-intelligent source. Now, all of that to say this: over the last 3 to 5 decades. In history, archaeology, science, physics, even in disciplines like mathematics and the study of personality and psychology and human consciousness, even examples of personality surviving death, near-death experiences, in so many disciplines, we have seen scientific conclusions that have great theistic implications and affirm what we read in the Bible. And I would just implore pastors, youth pastors, church leaders, ministers of education, incorporate apologetics in the church's outreach and discipleship programs from childhood up. I would implore preachers to, in their messages, incorporate the rich tapestry of apologetics that has existed for 2,000 years and is coming out in our lifetimes. And we must have really kind of a reformation of, I guess what I would call, Jerry, the life of the mind, that we Christians, we know how to defend our faith, and one of the areas of apologetics that we must speak to is the trustworthiness of the Bible.
Yeah.
And this number that, you know, one out of four Americans only accepts that the Bible is the Word of God, you know, whether or not that question was asked in a leading way that gave a low number, I don't really know. But I do know that we have reason to trust the Bible. We have reason to proclaim that God has given His Word. God has preserved His Word. The Scriptures are absolutely trustworthy. And through apologetics and through the dissemination of all this rich data, we need to help restore faith in the Word of God.
Well, this is interesting because the Gallup poll, I mean, you could almost turn this around. Listen to this. Okay, U.S. adults today, 2017, 24% of U.S. adults believe that the Bible is the actual Word of God. 47% believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And then 26% of adults believe the Bible is an ancient book of fables. Okay, now, Alex, just turn this around for a second. If you add up the number of people who believe, Americans, adults, who believe that the Bible is the actual Word of God and the inspired Word of God, that's almost 75%. So
right.
there's another way of saying that, you know, hey, 75% of Americans believe the Bible is essentially the Word of God. And so, you know, it's not all totally bad news, but we see a negative trend, and we see the skepticism growing, and that's something I think you're right. This is a wake-up call for anybody interested in Christian apologetics. Hey, we got to get this message out there stronger.
Sure, and you know, part of the negative takeaway is a little bit semantics. You're right. I mean, we could see the glass half full. In fact, more than half full. Mm-hmm. You know, three out of four do have a high view of Scripture. But you and I as Christians, you know, we know that regardless, even if we didn't have all of the great apologetics evidence, which we do, but even if we didn't have that, you know, we as Christians are called to have a high regard for God's Word. You know, our Lord said that heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word would never pass away. That's Matthew 24:35. And in John 10:35, Jesus said the Scripture cannot be broken. So even if we didn't have all of the empirical evidence for Scripture, we as the church should believe it, proclaim it, disseminate it, and follow it anyway, because if we're going to believe in Christ, the living Word, we need to acknowledge Scripture, the written Word.
Well, going back to Gallup, they say from the mid-1970s through 1984, close to 40% of Americans considered the Bible the literal Word of God, but this has been declining ever since, along with a shrinking percentage of self-identified Christians. Again, the vast majority of Americans still identify themselves as Christians, but we see a negative trend. And so we have about a minute left over. You know, the funny thing about all this, or the strange thing about all this, Alex, you're 100% right. Anybody that takes the time to actually look at the evidence, like Lee Strobel did, he went from being an atheist to studying all this to try and basically disprove his wife and show, you know, bring her back into a happy camp of atheism again, you know, in their relationship. And as he studied this, he ended up becoming a believer in Jesus because the evidence was so overwhelming. How about a concluding thought on this whole subject of the Bible as the Word of God? We have about 30 seconds left.
Well, you know, in 1980, there was a meeting called the Chicago Council on Biblical Inerrancy. In fact, James Kennedy was there and more than 200 leaders who signed a statement saying, we believe the Bible is the true Word of God. I think, again, we as the church across all denominations, all the strata of Christendom, we need to get together and with a unified voice reaffirm our commitment to God's Word, and that will impact our congregants and laity.
Thank you so much for being with us. www.alexmcfarland.com. McFarland is spelled M-C-F-A-R-L-A-N-D. Thank you, Alex. God bless you.
God bless you, Jerry.
All right. Bye-bye.